think it was emphasized, didn't it?
Did.
Statement, I know, wait. Where Satan's throne is as well. They have lost their pilgrim spiritual character. They are settled down. They are dwelling. I think that word well is the abiding place. Where are you resting? I'm nicely settled down where Satan's battle, you say, compromise of willingness to separate people passing through this world of glory.
But the Apostle Paul says that we are not ignorant of his devices. That's the word to us today. Another meaning of Pergamum is forced marriage, not just marriage, forced marriage. We saw in Smyrna the Satan coming like a roaring lion, and he did not succeed. Therefore, in Pergamos, he is changing tactics. The next verse that Brother Tim did not read, but I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's what happened in Pergamos, that the enemy changing tactics. Therefore, there was a forced marriage. After Constantine won the war by that sign, the sign of the cross, there was a order from the emperor that everyone becomes Christian. Before in Smyrna, those that became Christians were converted, were convinced in their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, come to the Savior. And for that reason, they suffered persecution and even killings. Now the door is open for everyone. The emperor said that Christianity is a good thing. Therefore, they started coming to groves. And that's where here, as Brother Eugene said, started the worship of the icons, of the statues, of the pictures, and even the saints started to be coming into the church. If you look into the traditional church, that every day there are feasts for the saints. Today is the feast of Saint so and so. These were all idols, and those that came to the church were not converted. The next verses say in Second Corinthians 11, for if who comes to preach is another Jesus, and brethren that look around us, not everyone that says I preach Jesus is preaching the Jesus of the Bible. Look at the Jesus of the Mormons, of Jehovah's Witness, of Seventh-day Adventists. They all preach Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. We have to stick to the word of God. And if you think that things are going to get better as time goes on, like some believe that the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth as the water filled the ocean, they are mistaken. We are seeing degradation in Christianity today. The testimony is for the remnant also. Brother Greg mentioned the word some. And if you look at 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you read the word some in 1 Timothy. But in 2 Timothy, you find that the degradation is universal. Men are leaving the faith. Men, all those that in Asia, they left the apostle Paul, and so on. Therefore, things are getting worse. Another thing before I finish, I like really what Greg has done. If you look at the colors, we're coming now to the third of the church, Pergamos. If you look at 1, 2, and 3, you find that the orange writing comes before the blue writing. But in the next four churches, you see that the blue writing is coming before the orange writing. The orange writing is the call of the Spirit, who has ear, let him hear, hear. And the expositor said that in the first three churches, there are more people listening and hearing and taking it. And then the promise comes to the overcomers, because they are there. Now he has to say in the last four churches, the promise to the overcomers first, before he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, because the number of those that hear is getting less and less.
Samir, read 2 Corinthians when you were there, verse 14. I said that's an important part of what you're saying.
2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. It is interesting to see what the Christian world says about Constantine. They put him very high as a savior of Christianity. But the truth of the matter, we can say, according to the word of God, he was used by the devil to change tactics in order to conquer.
I think that's that verse.
Is this on?
Yes, sorry.
And in connecting with that verse, concerning the simplicity of Christ, what does that mean when it says the simplicity that is in Christ? Doesn't it mean that Christ is enough? It means that Christ is more than enough. I appreciate what was brought out with regard to where is one's rest. Here in this world, one thing that is consistently seen is activity. Constant and consistent activity. And this was this is reflected in Noah's time. It is what will be reflected when the Lord Jesus returns. Men building, men planting, men giving in marriage, activity, activity, activity. And constantly seeking to do and to establish. But one thing we find in God's law, in the law that was given to Israel specifically, is a great measure of rest. A great measure of rest that was given. And that was the one thing that Israel most often ignored in their idolatry. And it was the one thing that the Pharisees most often completely abused. They took the Sabbath and they turned what was supposed to be a cause of rest and reflection and enjoyment and turned it into a burden and into a curse, really. And so, in one area where we have really struggled here in America is on this very issue, that Christ is enough. The world denies that. And as worldliness has entered the church, the spirit of worldliness, which is idolatry and independence, causes us to do more than God is calling us to. And it's reflected in what is happening to people in their health, in what is happening to people in their families, in what is happening on Sunday morning, the nature of the poverty that is seen within the local assembly. And so I'd like to just bring forth from Colossians chapter 3, just this reminder of really what we've been brought into. Yes, we do have a work to do, but the believer is described that as really being in Christ. And they are in Christ having received what they need, not having to strive, not having to struggle. And in Colossians, this church, all also being under the atmosphere and influence of philosophy, saying, well, I'm glad you have the Lord Jesus, but he's not enough. The Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God through Paul, says, no, that's quite the opposite. He gives the promise in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died. It's a fact, not positive thinking. You died. And your life is hidden in Christ in God.
When
Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, because of this truth, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, that's sexual immorality, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. And this is very interesting. Covetousness, which is idolatry. What was it that the Lord accused Israel of doing in the book of Jeremiah? They've done two things. They've left the fountain of living waters, covetousness. They've gone and they've hewn for themselves broken cisterns, idolatry. And this is really one of the great failings and one of the accepted sins of the assembly here in America is covetousness. We seek to be perfect. We can't be perfect, but we sure try to be. We want to have the highest grades. We want to have the highest paying jobs. We want to have the child who has the most tenants, the most trophies. We want to look like the person on People magazine. And we want to be the best gourmet chef. And also, it would be good to honor the Lord too. All of these things. It looks good, but the Lord is put last. And all of these things, not necessarily wrong in themselves, the good quickly crowds out the best. And the Lord is left with us coming into him.